Close enough. Tonight's Gemara is on one hand it's a scary Gemara, but the other hand it's a tremendous opportunity. Moed Tzadik Beis. From Rebbe Loza, it's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 lines down from where it gets wide. Any house. It's all right. I think I started early. A minute early. Okay, again. It will be consumed by fire. Shanemar kolchoshech tomun, hidden darkness, it's punav, it's not revealed, it's like it's put away. Terechlu eish loynoybach, it will be eaten by a fire that's not blown. Yeres sarid ba'olay, the remnants, what's around. And what does it mean? Ain't sarid ela tamun chochem shanema, with sridim asher Hashem kore. So, the Gemara says an interesting statement. Any house that there's no Torah at nighttime, the curl of Torah at night, not there, at the end, that house will be consumed by fire. Now, what does this really, what does it mean? So initially, you look in around, the Mefarshim, they say it's Eshal Gehenim. It's a real fire, not a real fire. But Marshal hones in, and he tells us exactly what we're talking about over here. He tells us a very interesting thing. It's very negative. Every one of us here. He says that kol bayis she'ein divrei Torah, ayri b'bala bayis. It's talking about the regular guy who works during the day. He works. Tzeini tamachach. The name divrei Torah nishmam b'beisim alayla. If there's not going to be any Torah in his house at night, the efshe b'yoyim mitechasakom shabala bayis efshe luma b'beisim. The guy's got a job. He's got to go make parnas and support his family. So he's got to go to work. And yet, that person, if there's no Torah in his house at nighttime, the house will be consumed by fire. That's one of the pshatim in the Marsha. So we see from here, the Marsha is telling us that this fellow, he has to go to work to support his family, and that's where he belongs. But at the same time, at nighttime, when he's free, Sundays, legal holidays, Shabbos afternoon, he should be learning. There should be some learning going on. Now, practically speaking, there's a reason to do it anyways, because most of us, at some point or another, send our children off to cheder to learn. Or our grandchildren, we study with them when we were visiting by them. And if they don't see their father, their Abba, their Saba, ever opening up a sefer and learning, at some point they're going to say, come on, sell this breach to somebody else. You know, if it's not good enough for you, what do you want me to do? So practically speaking, anybody who's in the world of chinuch, which we all are, like we discussed it a month or two ago, we'll all be mechanic, our houses, our children, our grandchildren, whatever it is, we're all doing it. So even our spouse, okay? I had a close friend of mine that got married over 20 years ago. And the very first year he was married, he was very meticulous to be around the house to help her out. And after the first year, he got a chavrusa at night and he joined the kol. And when he came home after the first night, his wife met him at the door, she was crying. And he said, what's the problem? If you don't want, I won't go to the kol. So she said, no, the adrab. For the first year, I only learned to love you. The second year, I'm learning to respect you. Now, it was a very sharp line that she said. She's a very firm lady, obviously. But at the end of the day, there's no question that when a wife sees a husband learning, it scores points, but not only points. It creates an elevated sense of awe and respect that everything else that a husband could do in the house cannot create. It's a very important quote, Shalom Bayis, that even if the wife is not so into learning and maybe not the most firmest learningest kind of lady, but when they see that you're taking spirituality serious at whatever level, it shows them a certain sense of, I can't push this guy around. I gotta respect him. He's connecting to God sometime during the day. There's something deeper in this relationship, and he's got a relationship with Hashem. There's a certain practical etzah, which everybody, whoever ever gives etzahs to Shalom Bayis, will always tell you that one of the biggest problems is that there's not enough respect, or no respect at all. All you do is sitting down 10 minutes a day, learning. And if the house is too much of a destruction, because it's too much of a distraction, so then you have to go to yeshiva, and you go and you make chavrusas. And a chanami, and that's what we do. We're in yeshiva, we're in shul. Because let's face it, sometimes at home, we live in cramped quarters, it's not always conducive with the children doing homework, the other kids playing, and the laundry going, and the phone ringing, and the computer in the next room. It's very hard to stay focused. So we leave it all, we come over here. This is our Orei Miklat, where we could, the Talad Amashal Alocha, where we could learn, connect our neshama to the Rabbanu Shalom. Recharge the batteries. So that when we go home, we run a house that's built Al Pi Torah. And so that's a side thing. Practically speaking, it's a very, very good idea to get into the habit of learning Shabbos afternoon. A little bit, whether it be 5-10 minutes with the art scroll, whatever it is, your children should see you learning, your grandchildren see you learning, let your wife see you learning, let in-laws, whoever. It's a very, very good thing. It has a tremendously big effect in a very positive way. But that's a side point. But Lamaisa, we see over here, there is this concept of the fellow who goes out to work during the day, he has to make parnasa. But then he comes home and he's supposed to learn a certain amount. Why? Because he's supposed to connect. He's supposed to do his learning when he's able to during his free time. Now, the Gemara continues now and gives another etzah. And the Gemara says like this. The Gemara says, for Omar Rabbi Elazar, koshe eini mahane tamidei chacham min achasav, somebody who's working and has money, makes a parnasa. And he doesn't try to take care of a Talmud Chacham with his property. It means he doesn't get involved in being machzik Torah, supporting yeshivas, or supporting people that are learning Torah. He won't see simen bracha. He might have 3 cars, and he might think that he has everything he needs. But he won't. Shenema ein tzored l'orch le'arkein le'yachol tuvay. Ein tzored al tamid ha'chacham. Shenema u'sridim asher Hashem koyre. So we see now the Gemara takes it to the next level. So the best idea is for somebody, even if he's working, to be kaveh, eat them, and sit and learn Torah in the house, in shul, both. There's enough time in our day to do it. And it's a good idea practically, and it's the right thing to do. And the Gemara says, if Chas V'Shalom someone doesn't do it, Eishach Lasei, so we definitely don't want to be in that category. But then, there's another Madrega, somebody who just is not learning Torah. Not because he can't, because everybody can learn their 5 minutes a day. But he's just not doing it. But he wants to be koina, achelik in Olam Haba. He wants to know that after 120 years, he wasn't so busy making a living that he had no time to live. What is he taking with him? The Mishnah in Ovid says, and I'll read it to you. Reb Shimon Amar Reb Yesi ben Kisma, one of the most famous Mishnayos. Pamacha Asagisi Mahalich Baderech. One time he was walking on the road. Upaga bi Adam Echad. Someone met him. V'nasan li shalom. He said, hello, shalechem. V'zartu li shalom. V'zartu li shalom. I said, I'm back to him. Amar li Rebbe meizam akimata. And he said, where are you from? He asked me, where am I from? Amarti lo, I said, you're a gedola, shachachamim, the Shel Sefer money. I'm from a very big town. There's a lot of Chachamim and Sefer, people who know how to learn. People that are learning Torah. I come from a Torah dicky town. A place with our yeshivas, a place with our rabbonim, a place with our chadarim. That's where I live. Amar Ali, so he said to me, Rebbe, Ritzaincha, Shatodi Imanu Bim Karmenu, how would you like to move to our side of town? I'll give you $1 million. That's a loose translation. It's really tens of thousand gold coins, whatever. A loose translation, $1 million. My Avonim Toibes, I'll give you very fancy gems. Margolius and diamonds. I mean, I'll set you up. You'll go. You'll become an instant millionaire. Now, before we go right in the story, let's be realistic. Most of us, if we were given such a choice, would really think about it. We really would think about it. Can you imagine how much? If I had that many millions, I could sit and learn all day. That's what it is. Oh, I ain't got to live in Sarfadorfin. Who knows what? With the not even a kosher restaurant there, barely. All right, I'm rich enough. I'll have my own butcher bring in the food. All right, there's no shul. I'll build my own shul. I'll have the money. No svarim. I'll stock it with svarim. That's what a person would make a cheshbon. That's what would happen. And not only that, we saw in the Gemara with Rabbi Elazar ben Arach that when he went to the Munsis, which is a town which is known for its like a vacation spot, and he left the other Amoraim, he forgot his learning, that when he came back to town and he gave him an aliyah and he had to learn the Torah, he instead of Achayish Hazeh Lachem, he read it Achayish Hazeh Lachem. He read instead of Achayish Achayish. The Gemara says, and he started crying till the Amoraim davened to Hashem that his Torah should come back to him. Because when you leave an Eir Shel Torah, as soon as you walk out that door, you're a different person. You cannot be the same. Your DNA might be the same, but your neshama takes on a whole different view. A whole different view. And you should know that's what he brings down in the bottom over here in Ruach Chaim. When it says Pamachas or Yisi Mahalach Baderach, what do you mean one time you were walking on the way? Lamech or Yotza Adami Pesach Beis HaMedrash, don't ever leave the Beis HaMedrash. Ki Ach Pamachas Yotza, one time he left. Upagabai Hamesis LaAdicha Beis Katara. There was a one time that Rabbi Yisi Mekisma left, and he got caught by somebody who was trying to slap him away from Torah. And he made an offer you can't refuse. But Rabbi Yisrael Kisma Baruch Hashem was ready for it. So what did he say to him? He said, Amartilai, I said, Bini, my son, my child, Amatanesili kol kesem azav, if you'll give me all the gold and silver, Avonim toivah yisragol yishamam, and every diamond, and every ruby, sapphire, everything that exists in the world, Eini dar el bim kaim Torah, I would only dwell in a place of Torah. At a time when a person leaves this world, the only thing that goes with him is not his gold and silver, and not his diamonds, his Torah and his mitzvah, it's the only thing that goes with him. That's why the Mishnah continues and says at the end, let me find it for you. That Torah is the only thing that's going to get you where you got to go. And that's what the question is. That with Torah, you're kind of Olam Hazeh, and with Torah, you're kind of Olam Haba. The person, his Olam Hazeh is real. if he's learning and his Isaac and Torah, my Shintoivim, and his Elam Abba is earned if he's Isaac and Torah and my Shintoivim. And the Maisha, unfortunately, what do we see? That people make Cheshbonis. And they make Cheshbonis that, unfortunately, drag them away from Torah. Drag them away from Torah. The Mishnah says, in Aves, in Perek Vav, at the beginning of Perek Vav, the second Mishnah, I think we quoted this a few months ago. The Mishnah says, Amr Yeshua Malevi, Bechol Yoyim V'yayim, Baskal Yitzim Erachoyrev. Baskal goes out from Erachoyrev, which is Har Sinai. Machrezes V'yimeres, Oy Lohem L'Briyas Melbenis El Torah. Woe is to my Briyas that are embarrassing Torah. She called me Shein Aisim B'Torah Nikra Nazav. Someone who's not Aisim B'Torah is called a Nazav. Not a nice thing to be called. And it's a mushless. Disgusting person. And the B'chaim V'Loshim brings down. What does it mean? Why was it called Archoirev? V'Loh Medikra Shema Archoirev Sheyer Dechur V'Loh Yivdei Gilulam. Because there was a destruction to the Goyim at this time, at the time of Matan Torah. Why? Because when HaKadosh Baruch Hu came around and offered the Torah, they all turned it down. Why did they turn it down? Because each one said, I can't. My parnas is ritzicha. My parnas is whatever it is. I can't do it. This is why the other nations turned down accepting the Torah. And yet, what does Klal Yisrael do? V'inei b'dereinu zeh. Rav amon parshim in haTorah. A lot of people don't learn Torah. Why? They tiny to this parnasa. Because they have to make a parnasa. That would work. But that was the tiny that the Goyim did. That was the tiny that the Goyim did. The Goyim said, I can't give you a Kalim Torah. Now we gotta go make a parnasa. Memela, Oilem, Labriyash, Melbain, Ishat Torah. It's a tremendous Elbain. And he continues to explain, it's really not just an Elbain, a Maisa. For example, you take a Marshal, take a Godel Adar. Some guy walks into the Beis Medrash. He starts yelling at the Gadol Adar. Hey, he's a fake. He's a phony. He doesn't learn. You think anybody's really going to take this guy seriously? No. People are going to feel bad for him. But is there going to be really embarrassment to this Gadol? Not much. These are things happen all the time. People in high places get a lot of mud thrown at them. The Torah doesn't get embarrassed. But the person who does the embarrassing is going to get punished. The Torah knows it's chashivas. So Mela, Rabbi Chaim V'Lajim explains that it's a tremendous yitzahara that we all feel, I'm busy making my, I don't have to learn. For my child, my kids, you go to Chayyid and learn, I don't have to. It's not true. The Gemara tells us, Kol Bayi She'ini Matera B'Layla, Yishek Losa. That means we're mechuyev, says Rasha, if we work during the day, because that's what we're mechuyev to do, to learn Torah. And at least if we're not going to learn Torah, so then at least be machzik Torah, go give money to people that are learning Torah. That's what the Gemara tells us. Now, in understanding this, let's put it into the context of the time of year that we're holding in right now. I want to share with you a story I heard today. Moshe Rubinson, Rosh Hashiva from Teres Simcha, Shalayim, Sarova. It's a very, very inspiring story, I think. To show you the koyach of a mensch, the koyach of what a person could do. He said over that if you wanted to make like bullet points of what somebody should work on, going into Rosh Hashanah, he broke it into five categories. He broke it into the category, someone has to work on making sure he has to keep it up at eight. He respects his parents, his rebbein. Shalom Bayis is the second one. He respects his wife. He makes sure that he gets mechila. His children, the third one. Atzmoy, he himself, was Mekayim, his tafkid, why he was brought down to this world. And the fifth thing is Lamaisa, did he help Klal Yisrael? Did he help himself is the fourth one? And did he go and try to teach and help Klal Yisrael? He broke it into these five. And he explained the marshal. We all know that Albert Einstein was a genius and created his theory of relativity, right? And just imagine, he come up after 120 years, and he comes with him, and he has a suitcase over there. And Hashem says, "Hey, what do you got in there?" "Well, I got my Nobel Peace Prize that I won." "Eh, throw it out." And he keeps going, "Wow, you created this, I created..." See that yeshiva over there, Godless HaTorah? If you would have just sat and learned Torah a little bit, that yeshiva there with 1,000 talmidim would have been yours. That's what you lost out. The Nitziv said over, when he finished one of his fun, the Aham Tavar on the Chumash, that the Maisa went, that when he was young, his parents had no money and they were going to ask him to be a shoemaker, to make some money. He would have been a shoemaker. The father and the mother said, "Let him be a shoemaker." And he came crying, said, "No, I'm going to learn Torah." He became the Hilik in the Tziv. And he always said over that he'd get under Tishamayim. And Hashem would say, what did you do? And I would take out my pair of shoes that I made. And he'd point to my sefer, Aham Tavar, and say, "This is what you could have did." So now I'm able to come with my Chumash and say, "Look, I thought you did it." It's accomplishing what we're here to accomplish. It's realizing our abilities and doing it, especially during this time of year. And like Achtayv explains, and let me just tell you the story, the interesting story, that Rav Chatzko, Mashkiach Mimir, then Panovich, Amol, he used to tape his shoes on these reels, these old reels. And they came out with the cassette tape. So he had a guy come, Ruben Malamed, and transcribe, he had it copied from the reels onto the tape. But they used to get people to sponsor it. They didn't have money. So I once came to this Rosh Shiva of Torah Simcha, and he asked them to sponsor. He gave them money to sponsor one tape. So after it was done, they gave him a tape. As a, you know, of course, I tell you, they didn't sponsor the copying over. And it was all about keeping it up at air. So he decided, okay, he'll get on the phone. He got on the phone and he called up his parents. And his mother answers the phone. He says, "What are you calling for? Is everything okay?" She panicked. She never called. He said, "Yeah, I was just listening to a tape about having a karza tape. About how your parents do everything for you and you got to push it to say thank you. And I'm calling push it to express my karza tape and apologize that I didn't do more often." So she started crying. So when she started crying, he started crying. She called her husband to get on the other extension, and she told him over what's going on. I should have called to say hello, just a shmoo, because he decided that he was inspired by a tape to realize that Kibbutz of Aim is a tremendous thing, and he wants to be Mekayimit. So when the father heard that, he started crying. And the three of them cried for a couple of minutes. He spoke about Mabakach, and he said, "From now on, I'm going to be in touch more often." Akitza, a couple of days later, Ruben Malamed, the one who was doing the transcribing, called him up and asked him, "What did he do with the tape?" He said, "What do you mean? I listened to it." "What did you do with it?" "What do you mean? I didn't do it. I listened to it. As a matter of fact, I was so inspired." And he told him over the story that he called his mother, put his father on, and three of them spent 10 minutes crying on the phone. So he started crying. Because since Rav Chatzko was listening, he always was mishpalel that he would come back to him in a dream. And he never was zecha until the night before Rav Chatzko came to him in a dream. And he feels it was in the schus that these people became closer, the son with his parents, and the schus that they cried, they made up from now on to be closer to each other. That's what created that push in Shemayim that made it that Rav Chatzko could appear to him in a dream. It's an amazing story. So the person happened. Shiva, the yeshiva. And it shows us the koyach of a person to do something we don't realize the power that comes with it. that one hello to your mom, the good morning to your wife with a smile, the small, simple things, which we just don't do, create such an nachas ruach in the next world that we want to gather in as much as we can for Rosh Hashanah. We want to show up Rosh Hashanah with a whole boatload full of zchuyot. We want to come with fully prepared to face the Yom HaDin. What better way than to start working on all these nekudas? And we have to decide who we are. It brings down from the Menorah Samar an interesting marshal. There were five people going on a boat, and the boat ran into a stormy sea and was buffeted around, and it got pushed up against the shoreline of a deserted island out in the middle of the ocean, and it couldn't move. It got stuck. So the captain, whoever he is over there, whatever you call a guy who rides a boat, told everybody that they had no choice but to sit tight, and in a day or so, 18 hours, when high tide comes in and it lifts the boat off the sand, the ocean bed, he'll be able to get the engine started, whatever it is, and they can float out, and then they can get back on their journey. But there was no damage. It's just too heavy to stop. But now you have a problem. Because you have a boatload of 500 people, and it's stuck. You have 12 to 18 hours. You don't know exactly how long. And they're looking at this island. And what do they see in this island? This island has every fruit tree you can imagine. Beautiful, delicious fruit. And they look on the floor, and they see diamonds scattered along the floor.
Wow.
And then a little further, they see gold all over the place. And there's a wine cellar. It's like fully stocked. And they're all sitting on this boat. And they're going crazy. It says in Menorah Samar, there are going to be five groups of people that make up these 500 people on the boat. You have one group that are going to sit on that boat because they know at any second that high tide is going to come, and this boat is going to be taken off and back on its way, and it's not waiting for anybody. It can't afford to wait because they'll get stuck again. And therefore, those who are on that island will be there forever. So they're not taking no chances. So they bolted their seatbelt. They're not going nowhere. Finished. Then you have another group of people. They know that they can't miss this boat out. It's the only boat around. But they also can't control themselves. So they jump off quickly. They run quickly, and they look, and they're running, and they might even tie a rope. They grab a few things quickly, and they reach right back, and they jump back onto this boat, and they take back the seats where they were, huffing and puffing. Whoa, they just made it. Then you have a third group, and this group goes, and they spend some time over there. And they're gathering their goodies, and they hear the boat horn, meaning that they started to go because the high tide came. So they drop with the last few things that they had, their pockets of stuff. They race, and they jump onto the boat just in the nick of time. And now the seats that they wanted are taken by other people. So mainly they're stuck, squished in a corner someplace. So they're not going to have a very comfortable journey. But at least they made the boat. Then you have a fourth group. And these are people that after they hear that horn, they still continue gathering the goodies. And then they say, let's wait till they put up the mast. And when they put up the sail, then I know they mean business. Okay? And then they see the sail going up. It's still got 25 feet to get to the top. I can get a few more things. So they grab a few more things. Then they go running. But by then already they have to run in the water. And they get all dirty and messy. And some of them get bit by jellyfish. And they finally get back to the boat. And they climb on. There's no place for them to stay. Because already they're all wet and stinky. No one wants to sit anywhere near them. So they're put into a... relegated to a corner someplace. Okay, but they made it. Then you have the fifth group that is so busy doing what they're doing that by the time they look up, the boat's on the horizon. It says in Menorah Hamor that this is a person in this world. Maisim Toivim, Mitzvahs, Torah, Limud HaTorah, going to Shir. That is our boat. We have to decide if we're going to leave that boat, leave that Shir, to try to grab a little of Olam Hazeh. There are going to be those of us that are going to be shomer the boat, shomer that Torah, and we're never going to relinquish it. And therefore, no matter what, we have a share, we're not giving it up for nothing. Rabbi Shmuel Ber Melzachorin Lebracha wouldn't leave to go to his own Enikos Chasana until Ben Astar. Because how do I have a job. I'm here till 8. I can't go home. He once came in for a mess mitzvah into the Mir Yeshiva to get Bachram to go. So Rabbi Shmuel Ber Melzachorin, they said, you got to ask Yeshiva. So he went to ask him. He said, no, he can't go. So what do you mean, a mess mitzvah? He said, yes, I go and keep telling, went up and down the street, telling everyone to close their businesses. A mess mitzvah, they gotta go. So what do you mean? He said, what do you mean? We have a job. We can't leave our job. Our job is learning Torah. We're keeping the world up. You think the guy in business selling stocks, the guy who's the doctor or the lawyer, he's keeping the world going? We're keeping the world going. If that guy's smart, he's supporting us, so he has a chelik of it. If he's stupid, he's not. But we're the ones keep the world going. That's the truth. If not for the Torah, there wouldn't be a world. You know that. So Mela, therefore, what ends up happening is that there will be a group that won't give up that Torah for nothing. They're going to guard it and they won't leave the boat. Then there's a group who Nebuch does fall. They miss the share, they miss this or that. But they feel bad, they do tshuva and they come running right back. They get more or less into the same seat because they did tshuva. And when a person does tshuva, Hashem accepts it. Kavarishayna. You're back in the same stead that you were before you left. But then you have the third group. These people, they waited until they were old to do tshuva. So they wasted so much of their life already. So yeah, they got in just in the nick of time. But they lost out so much because all they take with them is Torah, Mice, and Tevim. The stuff that they grab from the island, they don't take. So they'll get in, but they're going to have much less to take and they're going to be more uncomfortable. And then you have the fourth group of people and they waited to the day they were dying to do tshuva. And these people really got it with the skin of their teeth, but they don't take anything with them. And they're going to be in the bottom rung because they didn't have a chance to get anything. And then Nebuchadnezzar had the people who missed the boat totally. Says the Menorah Hamor, from which group do we want to be? Which group? Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elokecha. Kika Shalta B'Avinecha. Which group do we want to be from? Are we tzaddikim? Far from it. Are we doing everything perfect? Probably not. But do we want to miss the boat? I don't think so. When we come to Shia, we're being Neitel Chakulam. There's so much we could be doing. Each one of us had things we could have been going to and doing and being involved with. And the mice is it's very, very difficult to give it up, to learn. It's very hard. And the mice is, we are proclaiming this is the group we want to be from. This is what we want to be. The Mela, therefore, if we take this with us into the next world, we're going to have ourselves a tremendous treasure test. A treasure trove of Torah, Mice and Tevim. Because not only did we come to learn, we came to learn when no one else came. It's extra schar. And our children will see us learning, because now we're going to learn a few minutes in front of them. Maybe more than a few minutes. Maybe we'll finally even get... You know, what a funny thing. My brother told me that he used to... My older brother, Tamar Chacham, he told me was one time shocked into reality because on Shabbos afternoon he would once in a while look at the Ted, and he heard this little kid talking on the phone, I guess to Bubby or Grandma or whatever, and he said, she must have said, how's Abba doing? Oh, yeah, he's learning the Yated or something. Like, he learns the Yated Shabbos afternoon or something. Like, it didn't chop. My brother heard that, he never read it again the rest of his life. He stopped reading it. The kid could see a parent reading a newspaper, but he never sees his kid learning Torah. It's a busha. He sees his parent fixing the car, sees his washing the car, fixing the house, doing the laundry, very nice things. Never sees him sitting and learning Torah. It's embarrassing. We send our kids to school. You go learn, we don't have to. It just doesn't make any sense. So, Lamaisa, I just wanted a few rice. I see we have a few minutes. Do you have a question?
Yeah, does my daughter knows that I go to the base midrash.
Right.
She's like, she has a consciousness of that.
That's important.
Is that very good?
Oh, Rabbi Victor Miller used to say, when they get a phone call, right now, she just got a phone call from one of your clients. I don't know what you do for a living, but one of them called and offering you a big deal. Can I speak to Shlomi, whatever your name is? I don't know your name. So, I'm sorry, my father at home, he's in yeshiva learning, he's in shul learning. Oh, that's what your daughter said? Ah, that's nachas. That happened already. And if it didn't happen yet, it's going to happen if it happened last week. But there's no question that problems with cell phones now, people call cell phones. But it's very possible, and it happens a lot. Hello, can I speak to your father? I mean, he's not home. You know when he's coming? I don't know, he goes to a shir. When the 6-year-old and the 8-year-old daughter says that over, That's scoring points for you in Shemayim. You can't figure out it. It's tremendous points. Not only that, it scores points for you in this world. But I just want to be Messiah in Yonah Diyema, the Elam and the Kailo, discussing current events. And Lamaisa, we hold in a matzah now In literally showing Allah Avinu Shabbat Shemayim, it's always like that. But sometimes you get to realize that, you know, you don't get any friends. All you have is the Rabbani Shalom, especially in Eretz Yisrael, our Kodesh right now. And I feel connected. I'm here. I'm here. I'm one of you guys now. And Lamaisa, we have to be mechazik in atfilah to the Rabbani Shalom during this Shas HaKodesh, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should continue. You know, like it says, Tamid, Ene Hashem Lekech Haba, is constant. Kodesh Baruch is watching over Eretz Yisrael. We all need that special protection. And I just wanted to tell you that I was very inspired because I'm new here, relatively. And I was meeting different people and I realized that there's a certain bitachon that emanates from them. And I realized that there's so much I could grow from seeing it. And I saw over an interesting thing. Somebody came to the Maggid of Kuznets, a lady in Istra Bracha. And I need you to daven that I should get this and this and this. It's very important. So he looks at her and he said to her, okay, if you want, I'll do it, but I want $1 million. So the lady was turned off by that. Come in here, and I want a bracha, and you want $1 million. It's incongruous. It doesn't make any sense. But the Maggid was firm. He says, you want a bracha, I want $1 million. So the lady was beside herself. So she walked out really upset. Came back a few days later, $900,000. I said, this is all I got. I borrowed from everybody. I emptied all my accounts out. That's it. But I need this bracha from you. From the Rebbe, I need the bracha. And the Maga looks at him. You're short. I want $1 million. I don't want a penny left. She couldn't believe it. She thought she lost her hearing or something. She said, understand, I bought you $900,000. And this. Are you for real? And the Maggid got upset. He said, I said it already. Don't make me say it again. If I don't get my million, you don't get your bracha. Forget it. There's nothing to talk about. No tiki, no laundry. Finish. So she got so upset at him, she couldn't take it. So she just got up and she slams the chair into the desk. And she says, that's it. I don't need your bracha. I'm going to rely on Hashem. And I walked in. So she called her back in. Now I can give her bracha for free. I don't want your money. But you came here thinking that you were believing in me. Uh-uh. You believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'll give you bracha now. Now you're ready to get a bracha. That's an amazing story. It's an amazing story. But what does it show us? It shows us that sometimes we don't even tune in how much we are mechuyev to believe in Hashem. That's the only one that can do for us good or harm us, chas v'shalom. Everybody else are just puppets. And therefore, they were looking at me like, we'll learn, we'll daven, we'll do what we can do. Hashem runs the world. Like, there's a certain, bitachon is real. And I was very, very, not impressed, but inspired by that. And I think it's something we can all be mechazik on, but right now, going forward, to be mechazik in the nyonim of bitachon, in learning, in ruchnis in yonim, in gashmis in yonim. The Talmud of mine called me up from America all the way driving here tonight, and he says to me that he cut his hours, he only worked from 4 to 7 now. He's an appliance repair guy. I said, what's up, Shad? You're not going to make enough money. He said, yeah, but I'm not going to have a life to use the money on. If I'm busy working all day, that means I have to, to watch my children, I have to have someone else cook the food, someone else to have a cleaning lady. I'm working so hard to have someone else bring up my kids. I can't take it. I'd rather have less money and more happiness. That's a guy who's got his head screwed on. And that's what we're mechuyev to do. Going into Rosh Hashanah now, let's be mechazik in our Torah. Realize that we're not getting off this boat because the boat could pull away at any second. And be mechazik and be talking and understand that our Kohen Baruch is watching over us. And we have to daven, and we have to say tillim, and we have to learn Torah because we want to make sure that we're roi to get our Kohen Baruch's bracha. That when Hashem is going to watch over us, He's going to protect us and be our mugging. We're roi for that. We want Hashem to say, look, they're going to learn. How could I have something happen that could prevent them from going to learn? He's sitting there enjoying the words of Torah coming up to Shemayim. He won't let anything come to distract us from learning. But if anyways you're sitting at home or going shopping in the malls, you know what? Let the Malchum will be a little emptier tonight because let them all be at home scared. If we want to earn rights that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should look over us, look over and protect us, so we have to do our share. And Bez Hashem, Bez Hashem will see our tremendous efforts and we'll all be paid back, Doctor, that'll be mugging over us.
Let's go.